Welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm very well. How are you, Laura?
I'm good. I'm glad you're back.
I'm excited to be back. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we talked about lots of stuff last time.
We did. I didn't realize we had a little look back at what we spoke about last time. I didn't realize how crazy my life has been, to be honest. You know, it's not till you see it all put out in front of you like, oh my, I am mad.
No, exactly. No, you're not mad. You're definitely not mad.
Nah, well.
Well, I think we all are. Maybe a little bit.
Slightly. I'm slightly mad. But no, it's been good since we last spoke. Not a lot has happened to me, paranormal wise, which I'm quite happy with. You know, I've had, as I told you last time we talked, there was a period in my household where it was getting a little heavy. And it was kind of getting to the point where it was like the wife was saying, maybe you shouldn't do a paranormal podcast. You need to stop this podcast. You know, it was literally getting to that stage where, you know, it felt like the energy in the house was just dark. And we went through a spell of, you know, where I was thinking, man, am I bringing in some negative, whatever it is, you know, but thankfully, you know, the power of prayer and, you know, that's kind of what I believe got us through that. There has been something weird happened a couple of weeks back, which is like the first time weird stuff has happened. I don't know if you want me to get into that.
Yeah, you can. I'm just kind of smirking to myself because I've heard you on other podcasts saying your wife's like, oh, you got to stop this podcast. And then you're always like, no, I can't. No. Your like accent, I just love it. I just laugh. I'm not making fun of you, but I just think
cool.
It's so funny.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because I just love it. I'm just like, yeah. She's like, what are we doing? We're crazy.
Exactly what I said to her. She was like, you got to stop this podcast. I'm like, no, I can't. You know, it's just become a big part of my life. And I love talking to people like you and talking about these weird subjects that we get into. And what would I do without the podcast now, you know? I don't know.
Was so, that mean? I feel like I should cut that out.
No, keep it in. No, keep it in. Make fun of my accent.
I like the British accent. I think it's funny.
No,
like,
it's not, cool. You know. You can take the mick out of my accent all day long. Don't worry about that. But
anyhow, yeah.
So there was periods where, you know, the kids were seeing stuff and experiencing stuff. The wife was, I was. I've always had like paranormal experiences and been open to it. And so has the wife really as well. The kids as well, you know, and I don't promote the paranormal to the kids. I think I said that last time. I'm not one of those dads that are like, you know, trying to push them into being interested in this kind of stuff. I don't talk about the podcast or anything that I am interested in with the kids, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff. So I don't promote it to them. But so there was a couple of occasions where my wife actually heard me, and I said this last time, but she heard me call her name whilst I was at work. And that actually happened a couple of times again. That actually happened a couple of weeks ago again, yeah. So again, just pray up, and that's, you know, hopefully. I think we're constantly, with hauntings, I think it's like up and down anyway. I think with paranormal activity, I think there seems to be like spells where things happen and then it stops. And then a couple of months later, things start happening again. So I think that's kind of a constant. But there was a couple of weeks ago, or probably about a month ago now, I was in my kitchen. It was during the day, you know, I was, you know, not thinking anything paranormal, and I was kind of on my cell phone and I'm just looking at messages or whatever. And no one else was in the house apart from my little dog. And I just suddenly, you know, when you feel like someone's standing in the room, I felt like someone was in the doorway. Like I could just kind of saw it sort of in the corner of my eye. And, you know, my heart just skipped a beat. You know, when you're like, whoa, there's someone there. And I looked, and for like half a second, there was like, I don't know if it's like just my brain manifesting something, but I felt like I saw something that quickly wasn't there. So that happened very recently. And also there was another weird morning where, and this again, this could be like going in and out of sleep, but I was like laying there and it was like 7 a.m. in the morning and I was just going to bed. And I heard this, it was such a loud, it was like an explosion, basically. It really felt like a loud bang that kind of snapped me out. And I don't know if I was fully asleep or not.
Was there more to that, or was it just that noise that you heard?
Well, I heard this loud bang and I kind of expected something to have happened. So like I sort of got up and checked, and all the kids and the wife was all fine. You know, they didn't hear any bangs. So it was definitely like internal or whatever, but it was very strange.
So have you heard of exploding head syndrome?
I have. I have actually. Yeah. Yeah, I have.
That happened to me one time, and it was really, really weird. Very, very unsettling. I wonder if that's what happened to you, but...
I didn't think... Do you know what? That's the first time I've put that together. It very much could be. Yeah, I mean, I don't... What is... It's like you hear a loud bang, and sometimes you see a flash as well.
So, I've never heard about the flashes being tied to it, but I have heard about flashes being... Because I've experienced that. I've had the flashing in my eyes. It's not, I haven't had that for a very long time, but I've heard several other people have that. When you're falling asleep, you get a flashing in your eyes. And then it's also the exploding head syndrome is that really loud bang. It's like just when you're about to drift off to sleep, you hear it. And I don't know what the scientific cause is behind it.
Interesting. Well, that is pretty much what I experienced then. Yeah. And I have heard of that. Exploding head syndrome before, but I'd never, until right now. This is what's so great about these conversations. That is very much what it could have been. Yeah,
could have been, but your house is weird too, so who knows?
Weird stuff does happen, but I think for when we're open to this kind of stuff, we're like something I say quite a lot. You look into the paranormal, it looks back.
Oh no, it does.
I definitely believe that. So yeah. I think we kind of ask for it with the shows that we do and the things that we look into.
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes it bites you in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Careful what you wish for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. So another thing that happened fairly recently, we were staying in a cabin in the woods in the UK, and it's like this little holiday place called Centre Parks, and it's like, it's a lovely setting, cabin in the woods, and there's loads of these cabins in the woods. You're not completely in the middle of nowhere. And there's, you know, food places and all that. So it's not really the proper woods, but it feels like it when you're in there. And we were staying there for the weekend, and the little cabins, you're going to hear weird noises and stuff, you know, it happens. And I always get like an unsettled feeling when I'm staying in these places. Like, I guess that's, you could say that you're in a strange place or whatever, but I'll always leave like corridor lights on and stuff. I think I told you that last time.
Yeah.
So when we're there, there'll be corridor lights on, and that's for the kids mainly as well. So one morning, it was about 6:30 in the morning, on one of the mornings we were there, my eldest daughter, who's 14, came into our room and she was like freaked out.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I was like, and Amy's had quite, she's had experiences as well that she shared and some weird stuff when she was little that I don't know if I spoke about last time, which I can tell you about. But she came into our room and she was like, I've just heard this weird thing. And basically there was quite a lot of rooms in this cabin, and my other daughter was sharing a room with her, and she'd got up during the night and gone into another room. Right. So Amy was on her own in the room, and she heard, this is what she said she heard. She heard, like, and this is how she explained it. She heard someone go out loud, "Happy birthday," like that. She said it was like that. I know. And again, like, she might have been, but she said she was fully awake and stuff, and she was right freaking out. She could have been having a bad dream or whatever, but that's what she said she heard. The weird thing was, is my other daughter's birthday was the next day.
What?
Really weird. Yeah. So that was quite unsettling.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I'm trying not to laugh, because all I'm picturing is in my head is you're in this cabin in the woods, and I'm thinking of when you watched Harry Potter.
Yeah.
When Hagrid and Harry are in that like rundown house, and he's like, "Happy birthday, Harry."
It might have been Hagrid.
That's what I was wondering.
Harry Potter was playing in another room, or
yeah. But no, sorry.
One of those, it's like, oh, you know, I'd be a hypocrite if I said to my daughter, "No, you're just dreaming and stuff." I did say that, like, you are dreaming. Like, just relax, it's okay.
The fact that it's your other daughter's birthday the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any like grandparents that are passed on that it could have been like maybe one of them saying happy, coming back and saying happy birthday?
I mean, it's weird that they didn't say it to my other daughter, you know, but I don't know. I don't, the way she did the voice was, I know she did the voice like that. She said it was like happy birthday, which sounds
creepy.
Very scary, very creepy.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. It was unsettling. You know, it was like, oh, especially with what we do as well and the experiences we've had, and we look into this kind of stuff. And so again, just prayed up, you know, just that kind of works for us, I think.
No, it does. It definitely does. Yeah.
So that was very recently.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Apart from that, it's been okay since we last talked, which I think was in October. We last talked.
Yeah, I think it was.
It's not been too weird.
Wow.
But we did. I did miss some stuff last time. So there was stuff.
Okay.
I know we talked quite a lot last time, but there has been some other weird stuff that we can get into.
You can go right into it. What do you got?
So when I was 14, this happened. And my nan and granddad had a holiday home, which was in Chichester. And it was like a very old, I'll say haunted cottage. It was very... quite weird, you know, but loved the place. It was, but the problem was, is they it was getting a bit run down, and I think it was, you know, it was becoming a hindrance to my nan and granddad. So this was like a place we used to go to for the weekends and stuff, and we went there quite a lot. But they wanted to sell it, and they decided to sell it, which we didn't really want them to do, but you know, it was getting to be a hindrance, so they sold it. And not long after that, they were kind of looking at other holiday homes, but a little bit closer to where we live, so we didn't have to travel as far for the weekend and stuff. So we're kind of looking at all these different places, and they found this house, which on paper was like amazing. You know, it was obviously a good deal because it was a holiday home, and when you saw it, it was like, wow, how can they just be spending this much money on a holiday? You know, it was like an old, apparently it was 1600s, and I only found that out not long ago. I thought it was like Victorian, but my mum said it was older than that. So that my nan and granddad saw this house, and it was, I won't say the name of the place yet, but I can actually, it was in a place called Ramsey, which is in Essex. Again, I've told this before, and I've said Norwich before. I thought it was in Norwich, but my mum said, no, you said it was in Norwich. It's actually in Essex. But anyway, doesn't really matter where it was. It's just, they found this beautiful house, and they invited the whole family to come and see it. So it was a Saturday. The whole family went down to look at this house. And it was me, my brother, my mum, my dad, my aunties and my uncles. Like my uncle went to see this house. And honestly, it was like a beautiful, old, quite a big house, right? And as soon as we've all gone in there, we've just all of us are like, this is haunted. There was just a weird vibe, you know. It was beautiful, but there was like corridors in this house that led to nothing. So obviously, once upon a time, this corridor went somewhere, but it just, there was like little random corridors, and there was just walls at the end of the corridors. There was like no reason for them, but there must have been at some point. And I think the estate agent at the time said that these would have been like areas that the maids worked in and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like that's how big this place was. It was like, you know, it obviously had maids working forever, lived in there before and stuff like that. So anyway, we're walking around and we're looking in all these rooms, and I can't tell you how weird the vibe was in there. Like me and my brother were just freaking out. And bearing in mind, we had lived in a haunted house, so we were kind of aware of those feelings and stuff like that.
Yeah, isn't that like funny? I just want to like interrupt you real quick. That's a good way to put it, aware of it. Once you recognize and feel those haunted feelings or whatever they are, like it becomes easier for you to pick up on them when you go into places like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, yeah, sorry. I just wanted to add my two cents.
Absolutely. And I think as well, like once you experience paranormal and you accept it, like in your mind that it's real, mm-hmm. I think that's when you continue to have experiences and continue.
Yeah.
Like if you're like a skeptical person that doesn't believe in this stuff, you're probably not going to have an experience. I think you have to be open to it, to experience stuff, whether that's good or bad, you know. And I'm not sure. It's so fascinating, but I don't want to experience anymore. And that's the thing. So we're walking around this house, and I remember my nan saying, oh boys, this can be your room, like you can stay in here. And we were like, nah. We're not going to stay in here on our own. There's no way. And it was just we all just felt like that, the whole family. So it wasn't just me and my brother, like my mum and dad thought it as well. They thought it was a lovely house, and it must have been a good price, but no.
Because it was haunted as hell.
It was just a weird vibe.
That's why it was cheap.
Yeah, absolutely. And they obviously wanted to get rid of it. I remember because there was a estate agent showing us around, and the lady that owned the house was there on her own with a baby. And I believe, I don't know how I know this, but I did speak to my mum about it. But her husband was like a pilot and he wasn't there. And my mum, when we left, she was like, I don't want to leave this lady in the house on her own. Like, that's how we all felt. Like, my mum was like, felt really bad leaving a baby and a mum on her own in this house. So we left the house and we all kind of, I think we told my nan and granddad. I think I'm sure my dad and my mum said, like, it was a bit freaky and that probably, you know, shouldn't get it. That was the vibe. But my nan and granddad liked this house and they were like, I think we're going to go for it.
They didn't sense anything?
I don't know. I don't know if they did. I'm sure they didn't if they wanted it. You know, it was weird.
You know what I just thought of? I am the worst. I am the worst. I'm sorry interrupting you. Have you heard of before where houses kind of call people in and they make them feel like safe and it's like, oh yeah, come, this is your house, and then it's now we got you when you absolutely move in. Like, what if it was doing that to them because your whole family felt it but except them?
Yeah, that is a very good point. And again, this is why these conversations are so good, because, you know, you can get other ideas. That's a very good point, you know, because they was considering to buy it. And I think maybe my granddad was like a businessman, so maybe he saw that it was a good price and, you know, and it was a holiday home as well. So he wasn't going to be staying in there all the time, you know, but we was going to planning on having quite a few weekends there. But my granddad was at an event that week. I think it was like a football event, which my granddad was involved in. And he was talking to this guy. And I don't think this was a friend. I think he was just someone he was talking to. It might have been a friend. And this guy turned around and said to my granddad, and nobody else knew about this house, right? My family wasn't telling people about this house. Yeah. This wasn't like, you know, this wasn't out there. Nobody knew about this as far as we're aware. And this guy said to my granddad, Ron, I don't know why I'm telling you this. I don't know what this means. But I have to tell you this. I've got this message. And I don't know if this guy was psychic or not. I don't know. I really don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But he said to my granddad, the message is Ramsey Danger. Ramsey Danger. And obviously the name of the village where the house was Ramsey. And my granddad was like, that was enough for him to say, right, we're not buying that house.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. You hear about people getting messages to give to people. They're like, I don't know why I'm saying this to you, but this is what I have to say to you.
Absolutely. So that was what, I mean, as part of me sort of thinks, I wonder what would have happened had they bought the house, you know. But, oh, I'd like to go and see the house again now, to be honest, and just see what, if there's a weird vibe or who lives there, but. Yeah, we didn't get the house. That was enough for my granddad to be like, nah.
Good thing you listened.
Yeah. Well, he didn't listen to any of us, but he listened to some random dude.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? My dad has done that to me like my whole life. Like if I say something, nah, whatever. But if he hears it from someone else, okay, well then it must be true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people just, I don't know why. Because I have family friends and their dad does the same thing to them. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. It's like, okay.
I mean, it's just, I mean, because this guy, because whenever I do the podcast and talk about stuff like this, my mum listens and she'll ring me the next day and go, you got that bit wrong. It was his friend. Oh, you know, I can't remember if it was his, I don't think it was his friend. I think it was just some guy that he met at this event and they were just talking and he had this message that he had to pass. But it was just, you know, nobody knew about this house. You know, it wasn't, my granddad wouldn't have put this anywhere. I was 14. So this is going back quite a long time now. I'm 38 now. So this is before like social media and stuff like that. So it wasn't out there that my granddad was looking at this house, wanting to buy this house. So weird one. So that was weird. That was a weird story from my childhood.
That's a cool story, though.
Because my nan and granddad, they're very open to the paranormal. I know they had some experiences and stuff, so.
You had one from your great-grandfather?
Yes. Yeah.
This
is a cool story.
Okay.
And again, this is like a family story that's been passed down. So I talked to my mum literally a couple of days ago just to kind of get the facts of this story right again. So basically, my great granddad, this happened to my great granddad and his mum, right? So this is during the war. My great granddad's brother was fighting in the war. He was out, you know, and my my great granddad's mum was in bed one morning and he came into the room. Yeah, so he came into the room and they had a conversation. So so that'll be my great great grandmother. Yeah, it'd be my great great grandmother, I think. Yeah. She had the conversation with him. Like they're talking. And so she came downstairs that morning and went, "Where's Charlie? You know, we've just been having a conversation." And they were like, "What are you talking about? Charlie's at war. He's not here." She was like, "No, we had a full blown conversation. He was in the room with me this morning." Like she was with him. Later that day, they got a call to say that he'd died in duty. He was killed. And I mean, that's wild enough that she had that experience where she had seen him that morning before they got the call.
Yeah.
And she said he was like a full, it was him. Like it wasn't ghostly. It was him.
Mm-hmm.
The weird part is it gets stranger because they had one of his coats on the coat rack that was always there. It was like his coat. That day, that coat went missing and they never found it.
What the hell? Oh my gosh. I had goosebumps on my arms and now I'm like fully covered, my legs and everything covered in goosebumps.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's wild.
Wow. That's, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He like took his jacket and left.
Yeah. Yeah. But he died at war, you know, he was in France and it is wild stuff like that. The ghost that I saw in my room when I was a kid, you know, that was a full bodied man. That wasn't like see through or anything like that. That was like as solid as we are right now.
So that's one of my arguments, not to get on the Bigfoot topic, but mm-hmm. when people say that Bigfoot can only be flesh and blood and it looked like a physical creature, but I'm like, how many times have you heard ghost stories
mm-hmm.
where people see other people and they are as solid as you and I right now, and it mm-hmm. turns out that, oh, that person was already passed away, deceased when you saw them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So mm-hmm.
That doesn't equal anything in my book.
I think in some cases, when people are seeing Sasquatch and creatures like that, they could be seeing some apparition, you know? Definitely.
I think that too, yeah.
And that would explain why in some cases these things completely disappear mm-hmm. and then there's no trace.
Yeah.
So I think that's very possible.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, I was just talking to one of my friends the other day about it, about theories and thoughts and whatever, and, you know, mm-hmm. and the person's like more on like the flesh and blood side or whatever, but we're throwing back and forth ideas and it's just, we don't know, but it's just wild.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got another cool war story, but it's not paranormal.
Okay.
I don't know if you want that.
Sure, go for it. Why not?
So this is another absolutely true story that's been passed down from my family. And this is my Uncle Bill, right? This is my granddad's brother. So he was fighting in France and he was on the front line and they were having a battle one day and he needed a crap. This is absolutely true. Well, he says this is true. This is his story, but he told us many times when we were younger. And I refresh myself. Up. Can you hear me now? Am I back?
Yeah.
My Uncle Bill doesn't want me to share this story, does he?
Apparently not.
He's like, tell me, what the hell are you doing?
But you're this embarrassing me. Shut up.
That's not a story to put on a podcast. I'm like, I'm doing it. Sorry, Uncle. But so he was fighting on the front line and he needed a crap. Now he shared this story many times. And again, I refreshed it with my mum like the other day. I was talking about it the other day and she was like, yeah, he used to tell us that all the time. So midst of battle, right? Front line. He's like, I need to go. When you got to go, you got to go. So he's run into the forest, right? And he's found a spot where he can go. And he's dropping the kids off in the forest, right? And this happened. And all of a sudden, a German soldier pointing his gun has come over to him while he's mid-flow and kind of stood in front of him. And he's thinking, this is it. I'm gone. Like, this is my time. I'm going to go having a crap in the middle of a forest, in a French forest. That's it. And apparently the soldier kind of looked at him, raised his gun, and let him live. How wild is that? And that absolutely happened. And I've got to say as well, my Uncle Bill was quite a strange guy. And I think we put it down to the effects of what he went through during the war. He was never the same.
Yeah.
You know, when he came back, he was like, that changed him. And to experience something like that, to see when you're mid-flow as well. I mean, sorry, Uncle, I had to share that one because I say it's a cool story, but it's pretty wild. But yeah, it's another.
That's, I know, it's not paranormal. Wild. Yeah, but that's really wild.
Yeah.
I mean,
that has to be shared.
That guy could have killed him right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't, for whatever reason.
But I thought, wow. What a beautiful moment. I know he's having a crap, and that's not beautiful, but he's literally, it just shows you that they're two sides of the battle. You know, they're both shooting at each other a second ago. Like, he's obviously shooting that way, and honestly, like, he's let him live. The enemies, and he's let him live. And that's, yeah, I mean... That's my Uncle Bill's war story.
Crazy that he retold it.
Yeah. He saw a lot of bad things happen during that. Like, some of the things he came back and shared, that was like a light-hearted, quite scary, but, you know, it's just funny the fact that he was, you know, going for a crap in the forest. That was nearly it for him.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine.
Sorry, not paranormal, but...
No, it's okay. This is the bio on my podcast, you know, says history, legends, and folklore, all things spooky. So that's part of history.
Yeah, I can tell you another scary folklore legend.
Oh, I love those.
That my dad experienced. So near where I live in Dorset, the county next to us is called Devon. I don't know if you've heard of Devon in the UK. There's places in Devon that are very... very spooky. You know, you've got very old-fashioned places that haven't really changed very much for years. And there's a place called Dartmoor, which is like a really cool, historical, spooky place. It's on the moors as well, so that's quite eerie as well. You know, it's just mounds of land. We used to spend a lot of time there when we were kids. In fact, we would drive to Cornwall, which is the next county, but we would always stop in Devon. And, you know, my dad spent a lot of time there when he was a kid. And I've got a few stories from this particular town in Dartmoor. My nan and granddad were staying in a hotel there, and they were staying with two friends. And my dad's brother and his sister would go horse riding, and they'd stay in like a camp nearby, but they would do like horse riding for the week or whatever, while my nan and granddad would stay somewhere else nearby. But so they'd be in like a sort of like a summer camp. And my nan and granddad were staying in this old haunted hotel in Dartmoor. And the name of the town is called Widdicombe. Very spooky place. There's a lot of like pixie lore and a lot of ghost legends there. That's a very cool place, but it's quite scary. And they were staying in this old hotel there. And they were staying with their friends. So two couples were staying in this hotel. And they were told that there was a flasher in the village. So they were kind of, you know what a flasher is?
No.
Someone that shows their private parts to people.
Oh, we don't call them a flasher, but we'll say like...
a pervert.
Well, that too, yeah. But like flash something, like flash or something, but we don't call them like flasher. But yeah.
I don't know if that's just my family or if that's what everyone says, but that's what
know.
They, that's how they describe it, a flasher. I know. But so they were warned that there's a flasher in the village. So just be on the lookout, you know, don't worry. But worry, obviously, if you see
that. Was this someone that was there all the time? Or
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if it was he was just there for the weekend and they were just warning. Or
yeah, there for the weekend.
If he was just like the local flasher that everyone knew.
The village flasher.
I don't actually know. It's a good question. So it was the middle of the night one night in this hotel. And my nan and granddad said they heard like a piercing scream. And my granddad said to my nan, it's probably the flasher. There's probably the flasher, the local flasher or whoever. So don't worry, we'll just go back to bed. Anyway, they found out the next day that the scream came from their friends. So their two friends were staying in another couple were staying in another room, and they said that they saw a white lady walk through the room and, you know, walk through the walls, basically. And this is why she screamed. So they went down to the reception, and they was all talking about this, obviously, and said, and they told the people on the reception what they'd saw. And apparently the lady said very calmly, like, oh, you're in room, I can't remember what number it was, but you're in room 30, whatever it was. And they were like, yeah, yeah. And they went, that's fine. That happens quite a lot in that room. We'll move you to another room. And that was it. It wasn't like it's like she'd heard it so many times before, basically. And they just moved her to another room. But my nan and granddad said that lady that screamed, again, she was never quite the same again after that. That experience really affected her.
Wow.
She didn't go out. She kind of became a recluse after that happened.
You know, I wonder if she was just like, was so skeptical that it just completely rocked her entire thought of existence or whatever. I mean, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It changed her. They said she was never the same again after that experience.
Man, that's crazy. I would be like, no, I wouldn't want to switch rooms.
Yeah. It'd be an incredible thing to say.
Yeah.
So she literally saw her come through one wall or saw her walking through the room. I don't know if she saw her coming from wall to wall, but she definitely went through a wall. That's how she described it. And it was a woman in white, which I find interesting because in the US and the UK, the woman in white is seen so often. Woman in white, woman in grey. Every town in the UK has got a woman in white story.
Yeah.
Literally where I live, there's like a road just like 5 minutes from me that's got a legend of a woman in white that stands on the roadside that people claim to see. Even a guy at my work said one of his friends claimed to drive past this woman in white. It's quite a common thing, and I wonder why that is. Kind of like the Hat Man.
So, yeah, you're right. So I heard a couple years ago what could possibly be the theory behind the woman in white was that the fact that women back then were buried in their best clothes that they had, and a woman's best clothing that they had would be their wedding dress, which is white. So that's typically why people would see women in white. But I mean, I also don't know, because I mean, people see ghosts in other clothing. So I mean, I don't know. It would, like this with everything, it's like it just leads to more questions. It's like, well, why are they seen in their wedding dress, the last thing that they were wearing? Why is it not something else? Or how does that work? I don't have any answers.
A lot of these experiences are very similar, you know, like the Hat Man and the woman in white.
I love women in white stories. Those are like some of my favorite. I don't know why. I just think it's so fascinating.
Yeah. There's another woman in white story near me as well. So right near where I live, about a 15-minute drive, is Corfe Castle. And that was built by William the Conqueror. William the Conqueror was a part of the building of that castle. And it's,
you live 15 minutes from a castle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm in the UK. This castle.
So cool. That's so freaking cool.
It is a cool castle, but it's like ruins now. It's like, it's Corfe Castle. And they say it's like one of the most haunted castles in the UK. I don't know how they judge that. You can judge. But I guess every castle, every old pub, every inn claims to be the most haunted, you know, obviously. But apparently it's one of the most haunted. And there's a woman in white that walks the grounds that people see, and she's often crying. And I can't remember what queen they say it could be. There is a queen that they say it could be. But again, that's another very, very close. So that literally 5 minutes away, there's two women in white stories from me.
Oh my gosh, I would be there. I would be there, like, seeing what I could see, maybe investigating a little bit. That's really cool.
Absolutely.
I'm so jealous of you, because, I mean, I watch YouTubers that are over in the UK, and they do abandoned stuff. And, I mean, they'll go to houses in France and stuff, and it's like, other people, urban explorers, are going to these houses, and a lot of them are not even touched. They're not vandalized. I mean, some once in a while are, but there's a lot of places over in the UK that people don't mess with. They just respect it, and they go film it and do their thing and get out. And if you have that here in the United States, we just trash everything. It's disgusting. But I don't know. I just wish that we didn't do that, because I'm constantly digging for abandoned places to go look, or like ruins and stuff. And what I kind of found was, and I don't know if this is the thing, but I'm kind of picked up on it from what I gathered from Reddit, is that urban explorers, they won't post locations because they don't want other people to find out, and they don't want people to go there and vandalize it and spray paint and everything, which is understandable. But I think it's kind of like this underground network where they share locations. I've seen people post like location for location. And then I've heard the other YouTubers talking like, oh yeah, I just got this location from someone today. So I think they kind of share locations with each other, but it's super underground and you have to be like in this club. And I'm like, well, how do I get in? Because I'm trying to do this, but I can't figure out how to do it.
You have to earn the trust.
I guess you got to know somebody who knows.
Yeah. You've got to have a spot that you can trade.
Yeah, I think so. I want to do it so badly, and I'm like, how can I do this? But I cannot find, like, I will sit and dig for hours, and I can't find anything. Maybe I'm just bad at it, but it's super locked down.
They're very secretive, the guys that do that kind of thing. And I guess it's good in a way, because these places will just, as you might just get destroyed. And it depends where in the UK. I mean, there are some places in the UK that if people know somewhere's abandoned, they can have parties in there or whatever, I'm sure they would. But you're right, it's important to look after these old buildings. And there's nothing worse than when they knock down an old building and, you know, build new homes and stuff. It's like, whether it's the UK or the US, you don't want to see that. You want to see the history, man.
I'll find the video and send it to you. It's probably not, because there's castles all over the place where you are, but there's some YouTubers went to some castle ruins and it was supposed to be haunted. And it was so cool because I'm always looking for abandoned places to go, but I'm also looking for stone ruins of cool stuff, because once in a while you will find some cool stone ruins around here, but a lot of the times it's just foundations in the woods that you can't really find. You mm-hmm. can't really see. They're usually covered with leaves. But you guys have freaking castle ruins. And I'm just like, what is happening? I need to go over there. I'm so jealous.
Come over.
Yes. It looks so cool. We don't have anything that cool around here.
It is cool when you walk around these places and like you like feel the wall and think, man, the things that this must have seen. You know, the battles, you know, all the different kings and queens and who's owned it, and you know, yeah, so much history. There's a pub near me as well, which one of the walls that still stands in the pub is from like the 12th century. Not the whole pub, but one part of it.
Yeah,
the 12th century, and it's still like a pub.
I can't even.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, and the things it must have seen and the energy it holds, and I think you can feel that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe that. I would love to go. I would love to see that.
We'll do a trade. I'll come over to the US.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. That would be great.
This place as well, going back to Dartmoor. So this happened to my dad, right? So there's a grave in Dartmoor called, and it's in the middle of nowhere on like the roadside, called Jay's Grave. And it's like it's called Jay's Grave, and some people call it Kitty's Grave. That was her name. And for some reason, there's two names for this grave. I don't know why, but I've always called it Jay's Grave. And it's like on the roadside in the middle of nowhere. There's just like, there's a little stone there and there's a little mound where she's buried. It's over the years, they've kind of improved the area a little bit. So it's a little bit more nicer. It's like it was at a crossroads back in the 1800s when she was buried there. Basically, I'm not explaining this very well, but basically Jay, or Kitty, was, this happened in the 18th century. She was a local, a very young girl in the village, and she started having an affair with one of the locals. And at the time, this was like frowned upon, and she got pregnant out of wedlock. And they kind of, you know, they kicked her out of the community, basically. Like it was kind of frowned upon. And she unalived herself. And because this happened, they wouldn't bury her in the cemetery. They felt because she was in sin, she can't be buried in the cemetery. And they buried her at a crossroads. And the reason why they buried her at a crossroads is because if her spirit or entity, you know, if she rose, she wouldn't know which way to go. That was like the thinking behind burying her at a crossways. It's actually not a crossways now. It's like a road. She's there on the side of the road. And there's like another path which leads up into the forest. The other side is like, it's all grass and mounds now and you can't drive there. It's like, it's not a road anymore. But when she was buried there, it was a road. Now the legend is, and whenever you go there, the flowers are always different on the grave. Every day, the flowers change. That's like the legend. You know, I've possibly been disproven now because people stay there overnight, but there's always fresh flowers on the grave. And I went there very recently and there was fresh flowers on the grave. Now, there's different legends to what that is, whether it's like there's a lot of pixie lore in Devon, which is like, you know, the Pukwudgies or, you know, they're like the same sort of thing. They say they do it, or it's, you know, the spirit of Jay herself, does she do it? That's like the legend. So it's quite a dark story, but it's kind of preserved now. They don't touch it. It's there. It's not marked. There might be like a sign somewhere saying, but you don't really notice it. The grave is not marked. It's just a stone. And so when my dad was younger, he was horse riding in that area, and him and his friends were horse riding past the grave. And one of his friends, who was a girl, her horse kind of went over the grave, like put its legs on the grave, and the horse went crazy. It bolted, it threw her off the horse, and she broke her arm. So obviously they sorted that out. The next year they went back. So the same horse club, whatever it was where my dad was staying, they was going down that road again. That girl was there again, same horse. They're going down the road, and as they got near to the grave, that same horse, the same girl, the horse bolted again, just went crazy, and she fell off and she broke her leg. Like the next year.
Oh, what the holy shit.
Yeah. So my dad was always like, there's, you know, you got to respect this kind of thing and respect this grave. And so it was always like a story that we were told when we were kids, but always really freaked me out. So whenever I go there now, it's like, wow, this, because I mean, what's the chances of that, right? The same horse at the same spot bolts out of character for no reason. And she has a serious injury as well.
Horses are very sensitive creatures. It definitely picked up on something there for sure. Like without a doubt.
Absolutely. So, and my dad's always said that's because the horse walked on the grave, like put its, yeah, so
because it just like walked on it, or it sent.
Well, my dad thinks it's because the horse stepped on it and it was like a disrespect thing. I don't know. I mean,
that's what I was thinking.
Always perceived, you know, and the horse just bolted. I mean, yeah, very possible that the horse just sent something, and you know, but the fact that the next year at the same point. And obviously she didn't ride over the grave again, but the horse went crazy at the same point.
Yeah, because the horse remembered. I mean, the horse remembered that it was there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because it remembered that it got scared. So that's why I think it probably freaked out again. But I mean, it could have seen, you know, sensed something or whatever, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know. That's wild.
It was always a wild story growing up, hearing that.
Does she still ride horses?
My dad doesn't know her anymore, so I don't know.
She's crazy if she does, because I've been thrown off a horse several times. I don't ride. I haven't ridden in years because I stopped because I've gotten really hurt doing it.
Really?
So. Yeah.
It is dangerous. My dad used to love horse riding when he was younger. He had two horses when he was younger. He doesn't do it anymore now. He actually, when he was really young, he wanted to be a soccer player, but then he wanted to be a jockey. But then he grew too tall, so he couldn't be a jockey. But he loved it. He loved it. He had two horses and you know, loved going down there every year and horse riding the moors and stuff. And yeah. And something weird happened as well when we were younger there. And again, coincidence, very much could be. But my nan had a dog called Jay, right? With a lovely dog, Border Collie. Great dog. Like, we loved her. So we would go to Cornwall for a couple of weeks. And on the way back, we would always stop in this village just to look at the grave and just be there, basically. And my dad would share the memories again and stuff. And I remember my dad was looking for this grave, right, to show us Jay's grave at this time. And so my dad's driving along the road and he's like, I know it's around here somewhere. And we drove past it. And my dad's like, I think we've gone past it. And he's reversing the car. And my mum's going, stop, you're about to hit it. And he stopped and he was like, oh, I nearly hit the grave, you know, and especially after what he experienced as a kid when his friend, you know, rode a horse over the grave. We're like, oh, thankfully he didn't drive on the grave. That'd have been terrible. But then whilst we was there, my nan called us up and my mum was like, oh, you know, we're in Devon and we're at Jay's grave, told my nan. And my nan was like, oh. And my mum went, what's wrong? Why are you saying that? And she went, well, I didn't want to say because you guys are on a holiday and stuff and I wasn't going to save it till you got back. But unfortunately, we had to put Jay down. So our dog, our family dog, Jay, that, and it was like the same name as the grave. And I always put them two things together because we were there at the time. And I'm not saying it was anything to do with that. It could probably is a coincidence, but it was just always weird.
My gosh.
Yeah.
I knew when you said your grandmother called us, like, I just know, like, what you're going to say.
As we was there as well, like, while we was there, it was just weird.
That is weird.
Yeah. So I went back there last year, and I actually did a reel on Instagram talking about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just started talking about it, and I was right next to it, and I was a bit worried about doing it. I was like, I don't know if we should, because of what was kind of, I'm not saying she was negative, I don't think so, but, just because of what my family had experienced, I didn't want to. But we went there and we said, like, you know, it's a really nice feeling and stuff. And it was no negative. And, you know, so I've been back since.
I feel like somebody should dig her up and put her in the cemetery with everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. That's, I hate hearing stories like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's just many legends in that place. It's a very spooky place. I remember another time we was driving home from Dartmoor, and this might not be paranormal either, but there was, so you're driving over the moors, and the moors are quite freaky looking anyway, especially if it's like foggy. And I remember I saw this, I don't know if it was a lady or a man, it might have been, but they were walking along the moor. This person was walking along the moor and they had this purple cloak on, very like old fashioned and like a hood up. And I remember just being a kid and just watching this person walking along the moor, and suddenly they fell over.
What?
I went to my mum and dad. Mum, dad, someone's just fallen over in the moor. And I'm trying to tell them. And they were like, no, we're not stopping. And I was only a young kid, but I was like, we're leaving someone that's just fallen over. Again, might not be paranormal. It might have just been. I'm sorry if you're listening and you was walking along the moor and you fell over and you needed help. And my family wasn't there.
What do your parents know that you didn't know?
I don't know, but they didn't want to stop.
That's what I mean.
My dad was like, no, they're okay, who knows. I mean,
that's creepy.
That's another thing that stuck with me.
That's real creepy.
They should have stopped, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, like, not. Yeah.
Normally I'm like, yeah, let's go, let's, you know, like, let's see, but that's really freaky.
Yeah, it was weird. And it wasn't something that, because it was a memory that I had that I never, like, it was a purple hooded, yeah, it's quite weird. Really, like a hood, but like, who wears that? But I mean, it depends. I don't know. It's very strange.
I don't know either.
Strange place, strange village full of flashers and all sorts.
Oh,
it might have been the flasher, actually. That's a good point.
It's the only thing they wore. Just the cloak. Oh, that's good.
It might have been one my dad didn't want to stop.
Maybe.
I mentioned as well, I'll tell you this as well. This is going back to my daughter. So I don't know if I told you this last time. So I'm jumping to a completely different time zone now. This was when my daughter was about 3 years old, my eldest, who heard the weird voice whilst we was in the cabin. So my wife was driving and my daughter was in the back and she's very young. She's like 3 years old and they're driving along and they've stopped at traffic lights, the red light. So they're sitting at the traffic lights. And my little girl went, Mummy, what are those people doing with white sheets over their head? And my wife's looked, and it's just a wall. And they were like, my wife was like, what are you talking about? Aime, what's going on? She went, I can see people with white sheets over their head. And my wife's like, this is weird. So it was just a wall. She said it was just like a building. She didn't know what it was. So she drove home, and she told her mum. She was like, my mother-in-law, she said, I've just seen, Amy's just said she's seen people laying down with white sheets over their head at this random place. So they kind of Googled what it was, and it was a morgue. How weird is that?
Oh my God.
That's so weird. You know, at 3 years old, why was she saying that? That's always been like a...
She's got abilities, man. That yeah. is so creepy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's weird. It shocked us, you know. I wasn't actually there, but it shocked my wife. She said it to my wife, but it's very strange. And then how would she know? Like, how would... It doesn't make sense. It was just a building, just a brick wall, you know?
Yeah, because they wouldn't have bodies on the... I mean, or would there have been a time where bodies would have needed to be stacked outside with sheets over them?
Maybe.
Or something? There was too many dead that they couldn't process all of them at once? Like, because how would she see that on the outside of the wall or... I don't know. Or maybe she just got like a visual image of the inside of the morgue. I don't know. That's really crazy. That's really weird. It's creepy though. It gave me goosebumps.
It is creepy. It is creepy.
Oh my gosh.
Just another weird story.
And I'm going through the podcast before, like the episode that we recorded before this. And I'm listening back and making notes of all the stuff that we talked about. So that we don't talk about it again. And I'm like, is he even going to have any stories to tell me?
That's what I thought. When you sent me the list of the things that I've said, I was like, oh my gosh. I said pretty much everything, but obviously there is a little bit more. But
yeah, really, really love these old folklore and like old stories that your family has. I really enjoy those because I love old history stuff, and then to hear about it from another country is really neat.
You'll like this. Okay. I'll tell you this. So this is my mum told me this quite recently, and this was one of her. My mum lives in France now, so my mum lives. I can't remember the name of the place, but she lives 40 minutes away from CERN. She's up in the mountains. Yeah, I know. CERN's another. That's another conversation. She lives very close to CERN. She's up in the French mountains. Very, like, cool place. But a small village she lives in, you know, where everyone kind of knows each other. And, you know, one of her friends in the village told her this. This is a wild one. So her friend in the village used to live next to a graveyard. Right, her house was pretty much right next to this graveyard. If she looked out of her bedroom window, the graveyard was there, right? And she said when she was young, when she was a kid, she would be laying in bed at night and she would see people walking through her room. So they'd come in one way, walk out the other way. And she'd say sometimes there was like loads of people. Sometimes there was just like a few people, but very common that she saw this. And she said one night she was like just laying there watching these people walking through, and they were like all different types of people, you know. They would never look at her or talk to her. They were just passing through. Apart from this one time, she said she's watching this girl walking through, and she stopped at the foot of her bed pretty much, looked at her and started trying to communicate, started trying to talk. Now the girl's laying in bed and this lady's talking to her. But the thing is, she couldn't really understand what she was saying. It was like, and it seemed like she was getting frustrated that she's trying to communicate, but she just can't understand what she's saying. And she said, like, she looked quite distressed and stuff. And
that's sad.
She's watching this girl. Anyway, this entity, whatever it was, gave up and just kind of carried on, went through the wall. And she said it was like wild, obviously. That week, she's walking through the graveyard and there was a new grave, and she said she walked over to the grave and there was a picture of the girl that she saw that day. And that is wild. But that, she's now a parapsychologist, that lady.
Oh my gosh.
Because these experiences obviously affected her so much.
Yeah.
But she only had these experiences when she was a kid. She doesn't have experiences now, but she had those. Yeah. So that's another... from France.
That's...
So is that a portal in her room, or...
Yeah, what are they doing walking through her room like that? Like that... Maybe it is like a portal and they're like moving on.
That's what I sort of get from it. The fact that she saw that grave that week with the lady's face on it, the picture, you know?
That's so... That makes me so sad, though, that she was trying to speak to her and she couldn't. Like that just... I mean, can you imagine just... being in her shoes and yeah. trying to talk to somebody that not can actually see you. Oh my God.
You've got like a desperate message.
Yeah.
My mum said that she could hear sound, but she couldn't make out exactly what she was saying. So it was like murmuring, but there was sound coming from her. But yeah, obviously affected her a lot. It was a big experience to have as a kid. And she went on to study parapsychology and, you know, is still in that field today.
It's crazy that you hear of all these kids having these abilities and then when they grow up, they just grow out of them. And I really wonder why that is. I mean, they say you're more open when you're a child, but I would like to think that if it's something that like you can do as a kid and you believe in it and you have that ability, why can't, I mean, I'm sure that it grows with some people, but why do so many people lose it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is weird. Is it something to do with, I don't know, as we get older, we try to, we think more logically and we try and, you know, think, well, it can't be paranormal and we block it out, maybe, I don't know, but...
I don't know either.
We push these experiences to the back of our mind. You hear that so often where people just kind of, it's so hard to deal with, they just kind of push it to the back of their mind and lock it away somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
I should write these things down when they happen, dates... I still don't do that.
Yeah, no, I was going to say to you, you need to write all of this stuff down in a book, whether you published it or not, as long as, like, for you to have.
It'd be good to, yeah. Because I wish I could talk to my granddads now. You know, both my granddads have passed away, and I know they both have, like, stories and stuff to share, and not always paranormals, just, like, war stories and stuff like that. But I'd love to have...
I know.
I'd love to have their stories. Like, my granddad had an amazing UFO encounter, which he shared with us many times, and I would love to have had him on the podcast to hear it. And I'll tell you quickly what happened there. So he was on a golf course with his two dogs, and he's walking the dogs. He's not playing golf. He's walking the dogs on the golf course. And he said he saw this, there was a tree line in front of him and this black object come up from the trees and just started moving towards him. Now, this was like 90s or early 2000s when drones weren't, I mean, I'm sure they had drones, but not readily available to everyone like they are today. And he said this black object started coming towards him and he's freaked out and got the dogs and gone into a nearby forest and took cover. And he said this thing's following him. As he's walking through the forest, this black thing's hovering above him. And he said, he come out of the forest and there was a scout group walking along. So he joined the back of the scout group and this thing disappeared.
Yeah, I would but too.
He told us about this so many times. And I recently said to my nan, was that, because my granddad, he could also be a bit of a joker as well sometimes and tell a good story. And I said to my nan, did granddad's UFO story, that really happened. And she was like, yeah, he came home one day and he was, you know, very worried about what he just experienced. And he talked about it quite a lot. So I'd love to have had him on the podcast to document it.
Right? Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
That would be so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I know. There's so much stuff that I'm like, I wish that I would have asked my grandparents. I would have thought to ask it, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't realize until they're gone. You don't realize just everything. And
all those stories are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky I've got a few. I've got a few that I've been share.
I know. That's so great. Yeah, I don't think, I'm trying to like think, I don't think I have anything, any kind of ghost stories or anything from my grandparents. I wish I did.
Mm-hmm. So our family's always been quite open to this kind of stuff as well. We've always talked about, you know, these stories growing up. We've always shared these stories, so... It's probably why I'm interested in it as well. And
I know. I think about that too, because I've had people ask me, like, you know, what got you into this? And I think you probably even asked me that too. And it's like, I go back to, I should go ask my mom what got her into it. Because, I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, it was always, I would sit down and watch TV with my mom, you know, it was Unsolved Mysteries or Scooby-Doo or whatever. And then that got me into mysteries. Mm-hmm. But just all that spooky stuff. I think it's growing up with it, with my mom liking it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I should ask her what, you know, like why she got into it. I wonder, because I feel like my grandmother probably liked that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's just in us, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And then the older generations never really, you know, they say the older generations never really like talking about it. You know, our generation's pretty open with these mm-hmm. discussions, but
yeah.
my nan and granddad always shared their experiences. And
yeah, they're the one thing that's cool about today is that, you know, there's all these podcasts and all these people just talk about it freely, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, there are some people that are still like, oh yeah, you're crazy, whatever, but
screw those people them. Are open.
Yeah.
Each to their own. I kind of think you're crazy now if you don't believe in anything, because the world is wild. You know, what we see, it's a crazy world, and there's definitely a lot more going on, you know?
Oh, yeah. That loops back to, I mean, well, let's not even get into conspiracies. We could definitely still do this at whatever at some point. Obviously not today, but
that's another podcast.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but the Epstein files came out and the internet went fucking mad.
And it still is.
It is, to the point where I can't even look at Instagram and not be disgusted, because I'm just so bombarded and overwhelmed, and I'm like, all right, enough already, I can't handle this. Because you and I like good conspiracy theories, like, you know, here and there, whatever, but this shit has come out and it's like, this is the stuff I have been saying for years. And not everything, I don't believe everything that's coming out, let me be very clear, and I know that you don't either.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the stuff I've been saying for years, and people have told me that I was crazy and that stuff doesn't exist. And everybody now is like, oh, like a fucking detective. Oh, yeah, look at all this shit. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I know. No wonder why they don't tell us that aliens are real, because look at the madness that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the really, really wild shit that's coming out.
Absolutely.
That is like, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of what's coming out that is true,
yeah,
we have known about for years. Like in the conspiracy world, you listen to conspiracy podcasts, these talking points have been known for a long time, and I think with like people that are open-minded, we don't want to be right, you know. We don't want to be like these conspiracies, don't want them to be right, because they're wild and it's scary, and it's scary that we're living in a world where these things go on.
Mm-hmm.
But they do, you know. Yeah. and
no, I don't want to be right. You're correct.
A lot of it is like, oh, I'm just, it's just what I think is happening and what a lot of people think is happening, and a lot of us are right.
Yeah.
it's not good.
I saw this post that I was gonna repost it on Instagram, and I was just like, nah, I better not. But because I'm like, people are probably gonna think I'm crazy. But it was like, and just like that, my tinfoil hat became a tinfoil crown within a day. And I was like, exactly.
I think I shared that.
Did you? Maybe that's why.
Absolutely.
I saw it, it came up on my
Absolutely.
Feed. So you saw that too. Yeah, that's really good. I paused on that for like a minute, and I was like, should share this, but I didn't.
But now it's like, it's in the mainstream now, which is, you know, but some people still won't accept that this stuff happens. You know, they're still kind of turning a blind eye to it. I get it in a sense, because, you know, people are just, you know, they want to be happy and want to look after their families and stuff, which is important. And they don't want to be thinking that, you know, the powers that be are actually crazy psychopaths that are running the world. And
oh, yeah. It's dark. It's dark.
It is dark. Scary.
It's so scary. I mean, there's some wild stuff. I don't even know if we should get into it.
We'll save that for a...
Yeah, we could do that.
After dark.
Yeah, after dark. That's a good idea. I like that. That'll be like a series we could do.
Yeah.
That would be sick. We should do like a... Listen, I have enough heart problem producing my own podcast, so maybe... But you produce like 12 podcasts a week, so I don't know who's going to do it. We'll figure out the logistics at some point.
We'll work it out. It'll be a rumble.
Yeah. We should do it. We should have like a live show and everything. That would be
man. Yeah, absolutely.
After dark,
we talk about these subjects. you know, Jim Carrey's clone and all sorts.
Oh yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
You can go down some rabbit holes with this kind of stuff,
and
it can send you kind of crazy. You got to stay. You know, we know the world's crazy. We know that the people running the world are psychopaths. You have to just keep yourself, you know, even though we know this stuff's going on, you have to keep yourself positive, I think, because it can get to you. You can go crazy and the tinfoil hat can take over. You know, it's not all true.
No. But
a lot of it is.
It's kind of like a lot of this stuff doesn't shock me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a very small part of me that it's like, damn, this really is facts now. This isn't just
undeniable.
A thought to have. It's proven a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that really kind of just makes it that just more dark and just
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Wild.
And it's still, there's still more to come, I think. I think we're going to learn a lot more.
Isn't there millions of more files that haven't been released? I mean, that could be mm-hmm. a very dramatic number, but I thought it was like 3 million or something. That I don't know, something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. And when you look at other things that are going on in the world right now, which are terrible, it's like,
mm-hmm.
it's come at a weird time, you know, when you think the Epstein stuff, the e-files, it's gone a little bit, not under the radar. People are still talking about it, but at the moment it's not the forefront like it was. And you ask yourself, is there something to that? You know?
Yeah.
Crazy thought, but.
No, because you're not. I mean, this is kind of like, it's a pattern. They do mm-hmm. this.
Mm-hmm.
They throw out distractions or cover-ups and things to get you talking about something else. Because, I mean, we talk about something for like a week or 2 weeks, if that, and then it's on to the next thing and everybody's mm-hmm. forgotten about it because our attention. You know what? Just talking about this and realizing, like, what if, because everybody is complaining about how our attention spans are so bad and everything is created for a short burst of entertainment or dopamine hits or whatever. And you just scroll through TikTok or Instagram and nobody has the attention to pay to anything. So what if that was created to make our brains be so short to make us just forget about whatever's going on in the news? And I just thought of that just now. So mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, absolutely. Why is it free? You know, when something's free, I know they collect data about us and, you know, they use that. But ultimately, why is AI free? Generally, I know you have to pay for certain things with AI, but, you know, most people can get AI for free and social media is free. You know, I know obviously they're collecting data on us and stuff like that, but is that another reason as well, you know, to sort of change the way our minds work and keep us all over the place?
Yeah, I was going to say that too. I think I even said to you that I think that AI came out. It's not a coincidence that mm-hmm. it came out right now. That it's because you look at stuff and you don't even know what's real anymore. You can kind of at least detect it, but I've definitely been fooled by videos.
Absolutely.
And then I find out that it's AI. I'm like, holy shit. And then you go back and look and you're like, okay, I guess that was. Or maybe and you now, really know it is because you were told that it was.
Mm-hmm. And now you don't believe anything. I saw a video today or yesterday of, and I know it's AI. Oh, I think it's AI, but it's dinosaurs on an island. Right, I don't know if you've seen it. It looks so real. Like, if I saw it 10 years ago, I'm believing it, basically. And I know it's AI, because it's got, well, again, is it? I don't know, but I think it is. But it's literally little dinosaurs running across an island, and it looks so good. And it's getting scary. It's getting better and better.
No, it's so scary, because I was just thinking the other day, it's like, gone are the days where if somebody says something, you could be like, oh yeah, I heard them say it, or I saw a video of them saying it. And it's like, that used to be your solid proof, you know? That used to be, you heard and you saw, and that's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wild times. Yeah, we've definitely got to do a deep dive into conspiracies. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about when it comes to that.
There's so much. I just stopped sending you stuff because I was like, I don't want to annoy him. I'm annoying myself at this point, and I'm sick of looking at it.
No, it's cool. As I say, you can go down rabbit holes and it can drive you crazy. You've got to stay positive and just know that the world's crazy, but as long as you're positive and people around you are positive, it's all good.
Yeah, I got to shut it out sometimes because it's mm-hmm. just enough for myself to keep my head above water, keep myself positive and going.
Doom and gloom.
You know what I've noticed? I feel like it's like when TikTok came out that all of a sudden Instagram started doing reels also, I guess, to keep people interested in it. And it's like all of a sudden I woke up one day and I just realized, do you remember the days of Instagram where you only used to see what people posted that you followed?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Great
you
times.
Know? Yeah. And I miss those because those days now, are gone also.
Now you see just reels that they think you're going to like. And then occasionally someone you follow puts up. Yeah, I know. It is weird. Yeah.
And they've I wish I could turn it. I didn't even bother looking because I'm sure that it's not going to be a thing that I could turn off. I just want to see the people that I follow and I don't want to see the rest of the nonsense.
There might be a way. You can on X. There is a way on X where you just see people you follow.
I should look it up and see if I can do that because that just... And the bad thing is that I just sit and scroll and I have a timer set on my Instagram for like 45 minutes for my time limit. Mm-hmm. And I'll just hit ignore. And it's like, oh, you've been on for an hour and a half today. Now's a good time to close your app. And it is a good time, but then I'll...
Yeah, it's addictive.
It is, and I hate it. I just need to figure out how to break that addiction because it's not healthy.
Put it in another room, shut the door, and walk away.
Yeah.
But the problem is they're doing it to a point where it's becoming a point where it's going to be a part of us. I don't want it to be, and we might have talked about this before.
No, we didn't.
They're trying to make this a part of us because we need our cell phones now to survive. We really do. Like, it's got work stuff on there. You know, you need it for certain things. You need a cell phone now, basically. So a lot of people will put chips in themselves if they're gonna have the latest phone. I know I wouldn't. I like to think I wouldn't. But are they going to get to a point where if you don't, you can't live in society? I mean, we're getting really deep now. But it kind of seems like they're trying to integrate us with AI and you know, it is scary, man. Even because I use AI daily now. I know a lot of people do.
I don't use it and I'm never going to. Like, I refuse. I will die on that hill. I'm not doing it. And like, I know tons of people do it. Like, my sister's on it all the time. Mm-hmm. My friends and I know people that'll use it to help their writing or they'll have it write things for them. And I was friends with somebody that told me that they would have it like write summaries for them on Instagram or whatever, and now I'll see their posts and I'm like, yeah, that's definitely written by AI. And I'm like, I don't ever want to lose the ability to write a paragraph, to form my sentences, because I know if I let a computer do that for me, my mind's going to go to shit more than it already is. Because
that's true.
I used to be such a good speller, and I'm still a decent speller, but I noticed, and I'm typing, I just let like autocorrect, you know, like do it on my phone. And then I actually sat down on my computer yesterday and I typed an email out. And I had a couple of words that I was spelling wrong and I was trying to remember how to spell them and it wasn't automatically correcting it for me. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And I had to think about it and then I had to use the dictionary, Google it and fix my spelling mistake. I've noticed that with spelling and I'm just like, that's what's going to happen if you just depend on AI to write things for you. We're all just going to become dumber than we already are.
And just reliant on it and just completely,
yeah.
And the more you rely on it, the more you're going to ask it, the more you're going to need it. And then when you take, if you did take it away, you're like, what do I do?
Yeah. And I think that could be another thing is to going into, you know, not being able to believe what you see or hear, but it's also making us dumber on purpose. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going down a rabbit hole conspiracy, but I mean, who knows?
We're living in a crazy world. That is for sure.
Yeah.
But I think I'm out of experiences now. I think I've given you everything. I think I might remember some other things, but
that's pretty much
my crazy world. If you listen to the two episodes back to back, you're going to think I'm absolutely insane.
That's
what I've experienced, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what any of this stuff means or what it is. I'm trying to work it out. My opinion changes every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I just enjoy these conversations and, you know, trying to learn more, man.
Yeah, I think the fun of it is not knowing what it is. It's still a mystery. And then just talking back and forth and thinking, like we did do, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh, I never thought about this before until we sat down and talked about it or whatever.
Absolutely. So that's how we learn. The more we share, the more we learn, I guess. The more we realize that actually these paranormal experiences are quite, not, I don't want to say normal, but a lot of people have them and they're quite common. Mm.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for coming on again. And
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. Let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah. So Let's Get Freaky Podcast. We are wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music. We're also on YouTube as well. Let's Get Freaky. You'll see my little ginger cartoon face with a Bigfoot, a ghost and an alien. Let's Get Freaky podcast. Thank you so much for having me back. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right, guys. We will talk to you later.